His new book, Three or More is a Riot, Notes on How We Got Here, 2012 to 2025. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This hour of programming is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and by Urbana Acupuncture. Urbana Acupuncture offers safe, gentle, and effective relief for pain and stress while promoting overall health. Urbana Acupuncture, located inside Lincoln Square Mall in downtown Urbana. For more information and scheduling, please visit urbana-acu.com.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Stay tuned now for Disability Beat.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an announcement of the future of Disability Beat and a pre-recorded interview with John Rutter, employment specialist and social coach with local provider Community Choices. But first, disability news for the week of November 10th, 2025. Facing severe financial strain, disability service providers across the country say in-home supports are at growing risk. A new survey of nearly 500 community-based providers in 48 states and Washington, D.C. by the American Network of Community Options and Resources, or ANCOR, finds that 52% are considering program cuts if staffing shortages persist, increased from 34% last year. Providers report deepening challenges as temporary COVID-era wage supports expire and Congress moves forward with a budget expected to cut $1 trillion from Medicaid. Nearly 90% of agencies experienced staffing shortages in the past year, leading 62% to turn away referrals of new clients with disabilities and about a third to close programs. When cuts occur, 42% affect residential services that help people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to remain at home. According to Anchor CEO Barbara Merrill, quote, even before massive federal Medicaid cuts go into effect, our national system of community-based disability services was struggling. Without immediate action to address inadequate reimbursement rates, we risk reneging on the fundamental promise of community inclusion for all, end quote. Microsoft says it's working to make artificial intelligence more accurate, especially when portraying people with disabilities. Updates to Microsoft programs Bing and Copilot will improve how the systems depict people with dwarfism, blindness, low vision, and limb differences. Earlier updates for autism and Down syndrome were launched in May. Jenny Lay Fleury, Microsoft's chief accessibility officer, says AI has great potential to benefit people with disabilities, but it can also get it wrong. Because AI models are trained on public images, they often reflect stereotypes or inaccurate portrayals. Lay Fleury says early versions showed people with dwarfism as fantasy characters or blindness as someone wearing a blindfold. Microsoft worked with people with disabilities and accessibility experts to train its models for more authentic results. Some parents in Arizona say their kids with disabilities are being pushed to graduate from high school before they're ready. Their children might have enough credits to get a diploma, but families say they still need time and support to build real-world skills that help with jobs, college, and everyday life. The Arizona State Board of Education heard those concerns recently and passed a rule last year that now requires schools to give parents a year's notice before graduation. It's meant to improve communication, but advocates say it doesn't fix the bigger issue. Carla Phillips Krivakis, a member of the state board and co-founder of Champions for Kids, says once a student gets a diploma, schools stop getting funding for special education services, even if the student still needs them. She says meeting graduation requirements doesn't always mean a student is ready for life after school. For students with autism or Down syndrome, it can take more time to learn daily living or job skills. She says, quote, for my kids, for kids like my daughter, graduating early means going out into the world with nothing. They're not ready. They just need more time, end quote. And finally, for more than 20 years, I've had the privilege of sharing conversations on disability issues with professionals, family members, and people with disabilities themselves. Next month, my family and I will be moving from Illinois to Colorado, and with that change, I'll be stepping away from the microphone for now. I hope to find a way to bring the show back in some form in the future. Disability Beat will officially end just a few weeks on December 1st. Thank you for listening, and please continue to support WEFT Community Radio, a vital space where people in our community, including people with disabilities, can share their voices, their opinions, and their stories. And that's the news for this week.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, joined today by John Rutter of Community Choices. Full disclosure, I was one of the original members of Community Choices and was the first board chair of that organization for about 5 years or so. So it's a pleasure to see you all doing so well and prospering and providing great services to people in the community. Thanks for joining me, John.
Well, thank you for having me.
So why don't we start out by introduce yourself. How did you get in this position? Kind of what's your background and what exactly do you do?
That's a good question. For my background, I've worked in disability services for around like 15, 16 years. I'm kind of showing my age there a little bit. And I've worked a bunch of different positions at a lot of different agencies. You know, I've worked residential. I've worked in day trainings, employment. I do have a lot of experience working in employment. And I've been with Community Choices now for about 6.5, 7 years. And my current job position is I kind of straddle the line a little bit. I work, mm-hmm. I'm an employment specialist. So I'm in our employment department. And also I am a social coach in our Connect department. So kind of in between departments there, I get to do a little bit of everything. And that's kind of where I'm at with Community Choice.
So talk to us a little bit about the community coaching. Social coaching, is that what you said it was?
I go back and forth. It's like my position is social coach.
Okay.
The program itself is called community coaching. Mm-hmm. Like you can use them interchangeably pretty much. Community coaching, what it is it's a program that kind of encompasses everything that we try and do in our Connect department, which I kind of mentioned before was our department that works on connecting our members with disability to the community, to each other, just so they can have a really rich, fulfilling life. You know, we have our employment department, which focuses on employment. We have inclusive community supports department, which focuses on like the daily skills of living. So this is kind of everything else, you know, right. the fun stuff, if you will.
Yeah, but I think it might be helpful for people to know a little bit about how the services that Community Choices provides is different from some of the other approaches that other agencies might take. So let's take employment, for instance. Mm-hmm. And since you've been there for, what did you say, 7 or 8 years, something like that?
6 or 7, yeah.
6 or 7 years, that you probably are pretty familiar with all of those. And in a typical agency, it's been my experience that people maybe get put in a day program or a sheltered workshop, mm-hmm. or if they're able to survive in a job without any kinds of supports at all, then they end up maybe having an actual job. Is community choices different from that?
Yeah. So our employment department, we focus on what we call customized employment, which is, we do have people that come to us and are very much job ready, and they want to have that job that they see advertised in the newspaper, that, you know, which would be competitive employment. But a lot of the folks that we help come to us and, you know, maybe they only want 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and maybe their skill set right now is only, you know, they're not able to do a whole bunch of different things. Maybe they're just really good at one thing. So what we try to do is we try to, you know, discover those skills and match them up with employers, so that way, you know, the person has a great experience and the employer has a really great experience. You know, they have somebody working for them that becomes a really important member of the team.
There are a lot of advantages to having a person with disabilities as an employee, right?
Is that something
that you promote quite a bit, I'm sure?
Oh, of course, definitely.
Yeah. And so then the other program is you have a housing. Not housing. It's not called that. What's your program called?
No, it's called Inclusive Community Supports. Mm-hmm. And what that program is, it's a little bit more of what I think what people would recognize kind of as case management. It's a little bit more intensive case management. It's where we can help individuals that are, you know, looking to maybe eventually move out on their own or independently, or want to get a little bit more independent on their day-to-day, like, you know, life skills. We can come in and we can help out with that. So I'm trying to think of some of the stuff we can do.
Yeah, that would be good to have some examples.
Like, I know, you know, we can go in and we can help with, like, medication if somebody needs mm-hmm. help, you know, like scheduling their medications and, like, you know, how to set that up. We can do that. You know, I know one of my coworkers currently is working with somebody on kind of just fixing up their house and, you know, doing basic home repairs, things like that. Mm-hmm. If somebody is looking to, you know, like maybe they want to make more meals at home, you know, we can help with that. We can help with them go grocery shopping and kind of figure out, like, how do you look for ingredients? How do you look for all the different things that you need for that? And then also, like, once they get that, you know, actually putting it together, you know, like, you know, making sure you know what julienne means, which, you know, I'd probably have to look up too, so
I might too.
Yeah. But yeah, just basically things like that, and kind of like whatever you can, like, think of that you might need, like, there's probably something we can do to help that along.
Yeah. And you do offer some group classes as well. Mm-hmm. Correct.
What's
happening with that right now?
Right now, we actually have a community safety class going on, mm-hmm. Which I am a part of. And that's going really great. It's just kind of helping people. And that's something that through our community coaching, we've kind of identified as a greater need, because, you know, getting out in the community is kind of scary sometimes. There's a lot of unknowns and, you know, like what happens if, you know, this happens? And so one of the classes, we kind of sit down and figure out what classes would be beneficial to have. And we decided that community safety would be something that would be good for our members, that would help them out and help them be a little bit more, get out in the community a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work exactly when you're teaching a class like that to a group of people with disabilities who maybe don't understand language as much as they do demonstration? Do you use a lot of demonstration and role playing in a situation like that?
Yeah, definitely. last week, in fact, our last class, we rode the bus, and it was actually my first time riding the bus too, which I'm not going to lie, was kind of fun. Like, I actually quite enjoyed it. So, you know, just, and we went to Lincoln Mall for like 15 minutes, you know, enough to kind of like walk around, maybe use the bathroom and then get back on the bus. But it was just nice because it kind of like demystified it a little bit. Cause mm-hmm. it's one thing when you're talking about the bus. And like, again, you know, people might get this vision in their head of like, oh, it's like all these scary people and people I don't know, and I don't know what's going to happen. And do I pull
what
the cord?
What if I miss my stop?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like all that. But yeah, no, getting on it and actually doing it, you're kind of like, oh, well, I can do that.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So what are we missing? We've got the community, or we'll talk about the more community coaching in a minute. Is there a social aspect to community choices as well?
Yes. Yes, there is. That actually falls in the Connect department too. So we have our social opportunities, which I think if you were to ask our members, like, what does community choices do? Like, that's where they would really.
Yeah, it's the lunch out and the dinner
the
out.
The lunches and the dinners, our members love to eat, as do I, so it's great.
It works.
Yeah, it does, definitely. So those are kind of the opportunities for people to get out and experience the community, because we, you know, go to as many different spots as we can. You know, we're trying to every once in a while kind of throw in a restaurant maybe that you haven't been to. I know, like, tomorrow actually we're going to Himalayan Chimney.
No, so, that will be interesting for some folks.
I'm excited for it. I haven't been there. So,
yeah.
You know, we try to do that, kind of expand, you know, expand your reach a little bit. Just going out to community events to be, you know, just a part of the inclusive community. And do things and get people used to that. And also it's a great place for our members to kind of meet each other and meet people where, cause you know, in order to make connections, you have to have that initial, like, you know, opportunity to make connections.
Absolutely. So, if you're not there, you can't make a connection.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Yep. So, and there also something that's really different about community choices is that you have an active parent group, actually a couple of active parent groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we do have our parent support group, which is really great because it's something that I think, you know, a lot of times parents, and, you know, you can speak to this too, I'm sure, you just kind of want to, like, let your hair down a little bit and not have to feel like, you know, like, okay, I have to be, you know, on point here and I have to be able to get my, you know, get my needs across perfectly. And you just kind of want to vent and talk to other people and be like, yeah, this is kind of what I'm feeling right now. Like, is that what you're feeling? Like, oh, it is, cool. Like, that's great. So, yeah, we have our parent support group that meets, monthly.
Or is it every other? I forget.
I don't know. I think it's monthly. And we've been doing it at Triptych, which is also fun. I think it's a really great thing for parents to just be able to kind of, you know, get away from the, you know, that constant need to, like, you know, be on top of things and to continually advocate and just be like, you know, take a deep breath and be like, all right, I'm going to relax. I'm going to relax with other people that, you know, are in a similar situation to me and just make friends, make connections and, you know, meet people. So.
And if you've never been involved with a parent support group as a family member of a person with a disability, you don't know what you're missing. Yeah. It is so good to talk to people who are where you are,
mm-hmm.
who know, have experienced some of the same things that you have. So, yeah, I heartily endorse it. And it is not a typical thing for an agency to provide that parent support group because they're often afraid that the parents are going to get together and complain about the agency. I don't think you guys worry about that. You shouldn't have to.
No. Well, I mean, the last time the parents got together, we became an agency. So
yeah, that's true. I was one of them. So yeah, I know that. Okay. Let's talk in detail now about the Connect program and the coaching program specifically. If I have a adult child, mm-hmm. which I do,
mm-hmm.
who's interested in participating. How do they get started in that? How does it work?
Yeah. So to get started, you would have to first become a member of Community Choices, mm-hmm. which is super easy. You would just contact Basically anybody in the office will get you to the right person.
And there's a very small registration fee that we really can't talk about
yeah.
on air, but there is something. And I think you also have scholarships for people who are not able to afford that.
Definitely. It's definitely not something that's keeping the lights on for us. So like if that's an issue, like no problem with mm-hmm. it. But yeah, you would just come in for, an intake, just to become a member, which is a lot of, you know, signing forms, which
yeah, like, the paperwork
right,
thing.
What isn't
yeah.
signing forms, but, and once you became a member, the next step would be to, contact somebody in our Connect department, which would be, me, Morella, Huli, whoever, and just say like, hey, I'm interested in this program. So right now we try to run it quarterly. We're kind of a little bit off that schedule. I haven't started on the new bunch of people I'm working with yet. So, once you say that you're interested, you know, we can find somebody for you to work with, assuming that we have enough capacity. Otherwise, you know, we put you on a waiting list where, like, first chance we get, we're going to start working with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's it.
So give me an example of a person that you've worked with and how the community coaching worked for that individual. And of course we can't use names.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see, I'm trying to think. I've done so many at this point.
I know. You can just mush them all together and give us lots of examples.
Right. So I had one person who they, it was actually kind of interesting. And this is, it's a person that I used as a success story in the presentation I gave for the, at the art convention.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, initially they came in and their idea was, well, there's a group of my friends that, get coffee every couple of weeks. Like I haven't been able to attend or like I have trouble attending. I want to be able to attend that on a regular basis. So what that looked like through coaching was, you know, the first thing we do is kind of like, all right, well, like what's stopping you right now? And when we sat down and, you know, I looked at the situation with the person, the big thing was driving. So they driving made them nervous. The coffee house was at a busy intersection. And yeah, that was just, you know, the anxiety when it came time to go was just too much. So it's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, let's work on that. So I actually went, I had them drive me from their house to the coffee place. And I found out that, like, they're actually a really great driver. Mm-hmm. And the problem was the parking lot because there are no rules in the parking lot. You know, it's a free-for-all.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, and that was the issue, was just kind of like, where do I park? And the parking lot associated with the coffee house was kind of was busy and hard to get in and out of. So there was luckily another parking a parking lot for a hotel nearby that everyone parks in. So I had to, you know, had them park there. And mm-hmm. I'm like, it's okay, trust me. You're like, you're not breaking any rules. Like, the hotel doesn't care. And it helped that actually when we parked, somebody else had parked next to us and then walked to the coffee place. So I'm like,
see? Who was in the group? Yeah.
Well, no, they weren't even in the group. It was just some random person. And I'm like, see, they're doing it. It's great.
It's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, we worked that out. And I'm thinking like, oh, we're doing great. But actually, the more that we got into it, like that wasn't the issue. The issue was they liked hanging out with their friends, but hanging out with a bunch of their friends at the same time just felt too much.
Mm-hmm.
So we shifted gears. Like, all right, that's not working for you. So how about we hang out with your friends one at a time? So that's what we started working on. We worked on, you know, texting one of the friends from the group just to say hi and maybe say, like, do you want to go grab lunch? Like, that really didn't work just because, you know, the other person was not much of a texter, which happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, maybe we can move on to another friend. And he mentioned a friend that he hadn't really talked to in a while. I'm like, give him a text, see what happens. And he actually came in the next week and was like, I'm like, so how'd it go? Did you text him? And he's like, oh yeah, we got like lunch like last Wednesday. And I was just like, Well, that's great.
Yeah. So then they can take off and start making those arrangements on their own. And you are not necessarily having to be there to provide mm-hmm. that ongoing support.
Yeah, that's a big, big part of the program is I think we always try to keep that in mind that, you know, we're not always going to be here. I mean, hopefully we are. You know, hopefully we're here to support and help. But there might come a time where, like, this program doesn't exist or, like, Community Choices doesn't exist. Again,
well, there will always be those people out there who need that initial help to get started.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah, and that's kind of what it is. We want to get you started, but we're not going to do it for you. We mm-hmm. want you to be the one to take initiative and to really start to do it. And because, like, once you can do it for yourself, like, you don't have to worry about us. You don't have to call me up and say, like, hey, John, like, can I, like, invite my friend out to lunch this Thursday? You can just do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So, you know, just talking about driving, you reminded me that there's another program mm-hmm. at Community Choices that we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah.
The transportation program, which is a really, in my opinion, cutting edge kind of a thing. Talk a little bit about that and how it works.
Yeah. So our transportation department is, we give people a limited number of rides. I think we're at 12? Not 100%.
A small number of rides per month.
Yeah. And it's designed for, again, it's a department that's kind of like housed within Connect because the whole purpose of it is to get people out and involved into the community. So, you know, for people that maybe transportation was a barrier for before, like, well, geez, I really love to go to the mall and hang out with my friends, but I can't make it there. And, like, I'm not really great on the bus and, like, Uber
or the
Lyft,
bus doesn't come to my
right
apartment or
exactly.
Where, yeah.
And, like, Uber Lyft might be too expensive. Like, this is a way to kind of supplement that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can, and also, like, there's a lot of people that, again, like, Uber and Lyft is kind of scary because it's a person that you don't know that's coming to pick you up.
Yeah.
So this was kind of a way our transportation department was kind of designed to be that first step into getting used to being out and going places. And, you know, maybe this would be, you know, after a while, after using our transportation for a while, like, maybe you feel better using a Lyft or an Uber, you know,
or but a with, bus. Yeah.
Or a bus. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, and also it gives you that drive to, cause now you have a place that you want to be because you've gotten to experience that. You've been there before. And now you're like, well, you know, like, I'm out of rides, but I still want to go. Like, maybe I can try the bus.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just Champaign-Urbana. It is every place in the county. Am I correct?
Yeah, Champaign that? County.
Mm-hmm. Champaign County. So, all right. Well, we're almost out of time, but I do want you to give the contact information for anybody who's interested possibly in joining Community Choices and getting some services that sound good to them.
Sure. I think the best place to go would be our website, which is communitychoicesinc.org.
Mm-hmm.
And on there, we have a contact page where you can email us, which I think the email is info@communitychoicesinc.org. Our phone number is on there, which I do not have memorized.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Programming on WEFD is brought to you in part by ShampanaEats.com. Champaign-Urbana's only publication highlighting the food and drink scene in Champaign and Urbana. ShampanaEats brings you behind the scenes of the local food industry. Who?
how, where, and what you choose to eat next. ShambanaEats.com.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. If you have an old car, truck, motorcycle, or boat that you'd like to get rid of, you can donate that vehicle to Charitable Adult Rides and Services and just designate WEFT to receive the proceeds from your gift. All you need is a clear title.